Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight we're going to hit deep on the topic. Is the NFL a place for intelligent black players?
Blog Talk Radio.
This thing right here,
yeah.
Is for my people in the streets.
Yes, today. You know, as we start the show, this one mic.
There is a pause throughout the stadium as the man sounds like he just coughs up a lung. They're looking around. The Jumbotron shows and pans the cheerleaders, and as it goes down each cheerleader's face, each one breaks up into laughter, which at this particular time destroys half the stadium. The other half is still trying to figure out what the hell just happened. Does this guy need CPR or something? And then at that particular time, I lost it. Devon Drucker.
Yes. Today,
Love Talk Radio.
Show this one, Mike.
Phoenix is another place. They got a great training staff. I mean, they were able to breathe life back into Shaq. And if you can do that, you know, people talk a lot about their training staff.
Yes, today, you know, as we start this show, this one mic.
We do fantasy. We've been doing fantasy football probably for, you know, 10 years maybe. And this is the first year, man. You hit me up with the usual email. I hit you back, said, dog, I'm out. And I just want to talk about this whole situation because there's a lot of angles. And, again, it's a situation that I've just grown tired of. I'm tired of hearing people trying to excuse the NFL. I'm tired of hearing about, you know, why Kaepernick don't have a job. The Kaepernick NFL situation has gotten me to a point where I'm just out on the NFL as an organization, as a league. Again, I love football. And I've said it in a Facebook post about 2 months ago, my football will be reserved to Friday Night Lights. Cause I don't really do college football anyway. And pro football was like my fix. So I'll be hitting up a bunch of high school games with my son and my daughters. Cause Sundays I'm going to be doing that Maxine Waters, reclaiming my time. reclaiming my time. I am reclaiming my time. I'm going to be on that Maxine Waters. So, yeah, I'm going to have my Sundays free. Anybody want to hoop? Holler. Anybody want to get down? I might even start playing golf.
That was the legendary game changer.
He
has not had a chance to listen to our most recent podcast, The Bitch Show. Like, on one mic, you listen to RG, one mic. This is where we go deep in on the topic. But our Bitch Show is like the barbershop faculty seminar. And Game Changers was in rare form. Marcus Flowers, man, I love you, man. I listened to that thing over and over. You had me going. We'll hear more from him and his perspectives on this during the show. But he's not with us today, but I do have my guy with me. You know it. You know, it's like going into the post, man. You know you're gonna get your guarantee too. If you need a bucket, you're gonna have to go down and get it. You have to go down and get that bucket. You're gonna get it. It's like he's playing in the Big Three too. He's in the Big Three. He's gonna play and then he's gonna go get that bucket because he wants that money. That's my man. You know his name. Hank Davis. We call him Big Bank, Big Game, whatever. Hank. What's up, man? How you doing?
Man, reclaiming my time. Hey, ask him a question. Oh, man, bravo. That's the way you start a show right there, boy. Hey, man. It's all good. Hey, how we going to pull up the rest of this time, man? Hey, we got to reclaim my time.
Oh, Yeah, man. I don't even know how to, man. I had to hit the mute button a couple times. He was on fire. And he's had some classic moments. One was, if he was an MC, this was a classic freestyle. He just went and hit all the markers. We'll hear much more. We'll have a longer piece we'll hear when we get into our segment, when we talk about our main topic today about, black athletes and particularly folks who are intellectually curious and gifted and politically conscious. You know, is the NFL a space that cultivates that? Is that a space that allows for that? And is what's happening in Colin Kaepernick evidence that may be true? We also have some analytical data we'll talk about as it relates to his ability to play quarterback, which you've heard some folks come out with some foolish statements, really trying to use a critique of his play as one of the reasons. And we have some evidence that's pretty startling. I do a lot of research, and it's pretty obvious that there are other factors that are keeping him from finding his way on the team. So cut that football stuff out. All you ex-NFL players trying to y'all need to leave it alone. Stay in your lane. But as you know, this is RSG, One Mic. We are brought to you on the Carbonwell Health Airwaves. We're brought to you by Carbonwell Health. You go to carbonwellhealth.com. It is the total fitness and beauty solution. Go to carbonwellhealth.com. Contact Dr. Nestor Rodriguez and his staff. Boy, TJ put me through a workout yesterday. I sent it out on one of my grind videos. But I didn't get through the second cycle, the fourth cycle thing. He broke me down. You know, almost apologetic. I was like, I ain't do it. I got to get through it. But they get after you. I'm going in my next phase of my stuff. And some of you guys who follow me, y'all know I've been posting some of this stuff. Keep supporting me on this journey. But we love everybody over there and really good people. So if you want to do that, get in touch with Dr. Rodriguez and the crew. Very supportive of everything that we do. It's good. We got a lot to talk about in a short period of time tonight. We're going to get into that. But we're going to do something unusual. Before we get to it, we're going to check in with the world of sports and some things that have been happening. And before we get too deep into it, I want to just check with you, Hank, and just kind of see, you know, if there's anything else that's been, besides a couple of items we're going to talk about, that's been kind of interesting you in the world of sports before we go deep into our main topic today.
Well, I want to take the time right here, D, to also plug that Inside the Park will be posted soon. So, guys, take a good idea to take a listen to that. I do break down some what's going on in baseball right now. We are in the dog days of summer, heading into the final stretches. So, I want to give a plug out for that. College football, my favorite sport, man, is right around the corner, 19 days away. We kick it off, you know. They go for real. All of the spring games and all of the hype and the postseason and the preseason polls, all that stuff is going to be rendered useless in less than 19 days, man. And I'm looking forward to that, you know, as always. And then, you know, we're going to talk about a little bit about the NFL, you know. And this is the time that really, for those who are, you know, big time NFL football fans, hope springs eternal, because everybody is 0-0, and that kicks off too. So, you know, it's coming into that most wonderful time of the year for us. We're getting real close.
So we're going to be hitting that NFL, but yeah, college football around the corner. A couple weeks we'll be down there in Dallas at the Florida Michigan game. Looking forward to being in that space. It's going to be quite an atmosphere at the AT&T Stadium. I met with. Well, shout out to the boy Buccaneers. Met with Coach Durer today. They're kicking off the season. Good luck, you know, at every level. In Division III, folks, people who love the game are going to play the game. And so I think one of the things that is important about this is that, you know, we have a love for these games and these sports. So when we're critical, we're coming from a place that you got to, you know. So when you hear things like Game Changer saying what he's saying, you know, it hurts him not to be part of what we're doing. We do fantasy. We've been doing some stuff for like 20 years. It's been part of a reunion-like way we've been connected, the way to keep us connected. It hurts when folks, but they got. Sometimes you got to take a stand for something, even when it's something that you love. Even when I talk to people like Chris Borland, who talks about things around head injuries and things like that, you can tell, you know, there are times he probably misses playing, but, you know, there's a higher calling. So when we talk about this, don't mistake that we have passion and love, and we all have played these sports. And so I think from that, we are the ones who can actually, you know, be critical. So we are going to do that. But we want to start with something a little bit lighter before we get deep. You know, we got the Big Three. I was checking out some of the they were doing some reruns of the Big Three, and it's taking on a life of its own on Fox. Ice Cube, again, you know, Ice Cube is like everything he touches is like gold and platinum. You know, Cube just has a good sense, good business mind. But, and I didn't quite know if this was going to take off, but when you watch it, man, anybody who's been to a really good park, there's nothing more entertaining than going to a big-time playground park and watching it. The comedy, the way in which folks act, energy when you got that half court, everybody around the court, is so many stories there, and this Big Three has that feel. You know, I just laugh every time I see Oakley on the sideline. He like he just want to get out there and elbow somebody in the throat. He's mad. But it's been quite some energy and stuff. So, Hank, I want to really tap you. Have you had a chance to check out the Big Three at all? What's your opinion on Ice Cube's latest venture?
You know, I haven't checked it out yet, but I like the concept behind it. I like what he's trying to do with that, you know, with the Hall of Famers and World Champions. It's kind of bringing, like you said, bringing some of that back a little bit. You know, so I haven't yet had an opportunity to look at it, but, you know, anybody that we talked about who loves sport, to love sport, would be intrigued by this. I fully intend on having an opportunity to look at it and have an opportunity to comment on it, on what I see and what my take is on it.
And only the kind of downside is Allen Iverson. I thought it was just about practice, but he ain't showing up for the games. And so, you know, it's like the games. What about the games? I'm like, come on, AI. You know, it's like, man, we need you. But I think, you know, you're not going to have it like you used to. And I think sometimes it's hard not to have it like you used to. Because there's some cats who are like low-level cats out here. They're giving people the business. But that's one thing we always do on the playground. There's some things in organized basketball that just don't get down when you play a half court one-on-one. Some of the cats you think would get off ain't going to get off with the everyday cat on the playground. And so people are beginning to see that element of basketball that you used to hear stories about. You know, where some
you know,
of the
let me chime in here on that. You know, that one thing anybody who watched, and we did this, you played playground basketball. And it almost seemed, now you tell me if I'm wrong here, but it almost seemed like when you got to the organized game, it seemed to me like it was absolutely softer than when you played out there on the playground. That playground game, anything went, you know? And I mean, it was like, and the game was fun because it wasn't that you were a dirty player or anything, but you had it to bring or you didn't. And you didn't have nobody bailing you out on no foolish stuff. You're going to either take your man or you're not going to take your man. You're going to come off of that court bloody, bruised, and sore, but you're going to feel good about yourself at the end of the day. What you think?
Yeah, I think sometimes in organized basketball, you create sometimes predictable patterns because there's certain
right.
ways you play. And when you play on a court, anything can happen. A cat will do anything. The unexpected is there, and you got to be ready for it. Like you said, you know, game point might take 25 minutes because, you know, people are going.
Yeah, that's when the whistle start blowing right there. That's for real.
But it is, and I think sometimes you watch, particularly playground, some cats who play, when they go to the playground, sometimes they struggle. They get mad. You know, they think that, you know, that, you know, they're playing in the conference tournament or whatever it's called, but that's, you know, cats in the playground aren't going to give you that call. And so I think
that's
sometimes
right.
there's a struggle. Would you tell the real ballers are the cats who can play in both? And so it was always good to watch those cats who could play in both spaces. You know, you imagine someone like a Jalen Rose to play with Apple, you know, and he would work in whatever space he could play in because he just had
right.
it. And some guys might struggle more in that environment than others. And you see some of that in this Big Three with some of these cats who might struggle. So, but yeah, that's incredible. And the other topic I want to hit on before we get into our deep into our topic, man. When I looked up, Cubs was struggling. I'm turning around, they tied for first. I know you're gonna talk a little bit about this on inside the park, but, you know, Cubby's like, we're not going to be one-hit wonders, huh?
Listen, that's a very talented baseball team. And folks fail to realize the magnitude of the World Championship in Chicago on that side of town, on that team, on that community. And they had a hangover. I did talk a little bit about this hangover that the Cubs was going through, that at some point that they were going to have to get it together. But don't get it twisted. While they are in first place, they're only five games above 500. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that during the Inside the Park segment, about what's going on with baseball. Because at this stage of the season, you need to start getting ready to make some distance. Now, granted, we're still only into the second week of August, and we're going to probably see a lot of these teams start to figure it out. At least we hope so. But the Cubs, of all teams, if you're talking about underachieving slightly, they did. What they accomplished, you know, you can give them a little bit of a pass. I don't think they're going to be a one-hit wonder. Whether I think they're going to repeat or not is debatable. But being a one-hit wonder and having Theo Epstein as your general manager is not going to happen. But, you know, they're giving a pass given where they're at this time of the year only because of what they've dealt with on such a positive high that they were due for a letdown. But again, the state of baseball tells you that a team like the Cubs, if they just hang around, can figure it out before the season ends, and then there you go. And the ultimate goal is to make it to the playoffs, and they've got that opportunity. Again, they're talented. They got everybody back, so there's no excuse for it, especially in that division.
Well, hey, like I said, you know, there's going to be some good stuff talking. You got to get on that Inside the Park. Understand, this is one mic on RSG. We go deep into a topic on this one. On the Big Show, that's kind of like the faculty seminar in the barbershop. Inside the Park, that's when we're talking about baseball beyond kind of the analytics and the metrics. This is where, you know, as you can hear in Hank's voice, he's trying to take you there. He's going to give you some of that old school feel with the new school mix with it. And then if you get a chance to hear our Hustle and Flow with Game Changer and Sekou, that's the intersection between like hip hop. And we got a number of things. You know, check us out on iTunes. Just search Real Sports Guys on all social media. Look for Real Sports Guys. If you want to keep up, dialogue with us. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to hear the second part of Game Changer. And then we'll get into this question about the NFL's readiness for intellectually gifted and politically conscious black athletes.
And I'll speak on my own personal behalf of just kind of where I'm at. It's been a long kind of process of just watching this play out. And like I said, I decided about a month ago that if Colin Kaepernick didn't get signed, I'm done with the NFL. Like, for real, done with the NFL. Like, I'm not patronizing sponsors. I'm not watching games. I'm not buying a ticket. I'm not playing fantasy football. I'm trying to avoid anything that has anything to do with the NFL as much as I can. And not because Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job, and if Colin Kaepernick got a job, then I'll be cool with the NFL. It's just this whole situation has got me to a point where I'm kind of like, yo, really? This is the stance y'all want? This is where y'all want to put y'all foot down? Like, y'all done had some pretty despicable things, and y'all have been able to gloss over that in the name of winning. Now, is Colin Kaepernick to be in the league? Nope. Is he decent? Is he serviceable? Yes. Should he be starting, a surefire starter? Not on every team. For sure, not on every team. There's probably two teams he could start for where he's probably a better situation than the guy that they got, including, like, long-term age and that kind of stuff. There may be a couple of teams where he's a better move than the guy that they got in place. But, again, I've seen guys get opportunities for doing way more egregious things. And the fact that this is where ownership and people want to put their foot down around player conduct and, you know, what's acceptable, honorable, or whatever. Like, I'm like, yo, really? This is the axe y'all finna grind. Well, I got an axe too. And my axe is made out of green folding dollar bills, and I'm taking mine somewhere else. Even if Kaepernick was to get a job, I'm still done with the NFL. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it is for me. Like, if Kaepernick gets a job in the league tomorrow, if he gets signed, I'm still not watching football. Why? Because, again, this whole, like, whose money matters. You know, people talk about Black Lives Matter. Black money matters, too. You know what I'm saying? And it won't matter until we start making it matter. And the fact that the certain folks in the population who were against Kaepernick somehow have a larger voice, or their dollars mean more, or that's the way it's been presented, is that their discomfort with Kaepernick means more to the NFL than even winning. You know what I'm saying? Like, some teams, like, needed Kaepernick. Like, they could have used Kaepernick. Like, don't give me that line of BS that you could have used Kaepernick. Like, Baltimore could use Kaepernick right now. They could use Kaepernick right now. You know, and even Miami could have used Kaepernick. They may have still signed Cutler, but they could have had some leverage if they had considered Kaepernick for real. They wouldn't be paying Jay Cutler no $10 million if they had the Kaepernick option.
That's right.
A viable option. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, this whole process of is just, you know, don't give me the – it's all about winning. It's not all about winning. Not when you actually, and for me, this comes to a realization that I've just come to in general about just this, our country and where we're at. And I love this country. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. But at the same time, I got to acknowledge this country was built on white supremacy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard baked into every institution that we have, and our Constitution is right there. You know, everybody didn't get the unalienable rights that was granted by our forefathers. They reserved that for some white men, straight up. Like, everybody else was written out of the document and was added in later on, way later on. So let's not pretend like that isn't at the core of everything. And so what Kaepernick's crime is he attacked that white patriarchy. He attacked that. He attacked that white supremacy. He attacked that. And, again, the NFL as a product itself, over the years, I just realized I've been looking the other way on a lot of this other stuff. They support a lot of oppression. and not directly, but they indirectly, as a social institution, it supports a lot of patriarchal ideas about women. I mean, you got guys who have been accused of all types of sexual assault. You got guys who have assaulted women in a lot of different ways. I mean, it's very hypocritical. And there's a lot of things that this has opened my eyes and be like, you know what, man, you've been turning a blind eye to a lot of this stuff, but these cats have been dirty for a minute. And I don't fault nobody who wants to keep supporting the league and I just can't do it no more. And to listen to the talking heads try and explain away why Kaepernick doesn't have a job. And it's like, it's not even about that no more. It's not even about whether or not Kaepernick has a job. The fact that being blackballed for this particular thing even happened, whether he gets a job at the 11th hour or not, there's no doubt that he was off of teams' list because of his protest. That's documented. Like, That ain't debatable. Teams scratched him off their list because of his protest. The fact that that is a real thing, and some of these teams, again, have guys who have lots of different offenses in their past, currently, pending, like, I just kind of like, you know what, man, whatever. Whatever, man. Y'all do you. You do you. You be over there. I'm going to be over here. And I got the NBA, and I'll go watch that. But that's where I'm at, man. It's just I'm not in it. I'm not in this no more. I'm out. I'm just out on the NFL as a product in general. It is what it is. It's about the money. Don't give me no, it's about winning games. I ain't trying to hear that either. It's about money, and it's about certain people's money. And that's cool. It could be about their money, but their money ain't my money. So we even Stevens.
That was our brother, Marcus Flowers, otherwise known as Game Changer, on Real Sports Guys' big show. You can get to that on Real iTunes, Real Sports Guys. It's near the top. There's a lot of good stuff. You got to go listen to that. You listen to RSC One Mic. This is where we go deep. And the question, and he raised a lot of issues in that topic, but one of the things we got to later in our show, and you'll hear more of that if you go and check out the podcast, is that one of the questions that came up fundamentally, that is the NFL a place? Because one thing I did push on, I said, well, you know, NFL, the NBA has a history. But like as Game Changer pointed out, and as I realized, the NBA has done a lot to address that issue, and NBA players clearly have much more of a political voice now in spaces and reacting, and the NBA is much more of a partnership in that way than the NFL. But that got us to thinking about whether or not the NFL is a place that's structured or the way it's set up with a very militarized kind of patriotic kind of framework that is always a part of it, conscious and intellectually gifted black athletes can have a space in a voice. And so I want to get into that, but first of all, Hank, I know, you know, you like Big Bruh stuff to me. I hit you. I love the way in which you think about some of these issues. I was really excited about going into this a little bit with you. What were some of your reactions to what you heard him say about his position and just about the NFL? Like, what are some of your initial reactions?
Well, you know, I fully understand what he's talking about. And one thing about the NFL is you got a very old school, old boy network, good old boy network in the NFL that, you know, oddly enough, don't even exist in the other sports as much as you would think. If you were to look at the sports as a general, just the major ones, you know, hockey notwithstanding, but just when you're looking at the ones, baseball, you're looking at football, you're looking at basketball, and you would think that the stodgiest of all of those would have been the Major League Baseball, considering what we know about the, you know, African Americans getting into the league with Jackie Robinson and the like. But to baseball's credit, they tried to do some other things with players of color to make them a little bit more involved in the sport, as far as, you know, you read in the paper where here's Derek Jeter and a group that's trying to buy the Florida Marlins. You have Magic Johnson, who's a part owner of the Los Angeles Dodgers. You don't see such a thing in the NFL. You've got a lot of old money there, which means you've got a lot of old behaviors. You've got a lot of old everything. And it's a pick-and-choose sort of thing. So you see where you have your commissioner. And your commissioner is chosen by the owners, and he is chosen with a specific rules and regulations on what he wants to follow. And that's to make money for those owners. So it doesn't really matter. Anything that makes those owners, that old money, uncomfortable, they're going to go away with. Okay, they don't care about and he's absolutely on point. When you look at some of the players and some of the heinous things they've done to women in domestic violence and the sexual assault, and just how slow the NFL is to move on those things. And yet they do things so hypocritical, like October, have everybody wear pink, and then you would go and challenge, I would challenge anyone to see how much of that money for breast cancer actually went to breast cancer research that was actually donated by the NFL. So it's on to that. That being said, you know, it is one of the most popular sports, professional football, one of the most popular sports in the nation, period, bar none. And with that being said, they know, the owners know what they have. They know what they have, and they know that if you are a winning player, if you are a championship player or anything like that, I don't care, or you can cause a team to top, they don't care. It's just the way it is with the NFL. They don't care what you're doing, okay? Here's Colin Kaepernick, and I promise you, D, nobody talks about this. And look, he is a very good player. He's very talented and everything. But the fact that he came off of a very sorry San Francisco 49er team, a dumpster fire of a team, and even though he was probably one of the better players of that team, but if he was with the New England Patriots or somebody, if he was with the Atlanta Falcons and got them one step away from the Super Bowl, let's say that was, now let me just change it up a little bit. Let's say that was Cam Newton, okay, that was in a contract year right after the Super Bowl, okay, and lost in the last seconds in the Super Bowl. Cam Newton would have gotten signed by somebody, okay? Don't think for a minute that ain't got something to do with it. Yeah, there's an awful lot to do with the protest, but if you look around, Marshawn Lynch is now sitting down, okay, with the Oakland Raiders. And I promise you, after the aftermath of the things that happened in Charlottesville, Virginia, you're going to see a lot more athletes of color really trying to take a political stand. So things are going to find its way into the NFL the way these owners are going to make these owners uncomfortable. And I would venture to guess that given to the aftermath of the events yesterday, that Colin Kaepernick does get signed just to kind of keep things quiet, because that's the way these owners think. Well, maybe if we put the colored in here now, then maybe we can kind of look like we're a progressive team. But it's a day late and a dollar short, so I understand what Game Changer is saying there. So he's absolutely right in a lot of ways, but this is the political game that this old money of the NFL is playing. As the fan, as the consumer, you have two choices. You can really bite the bullet that he has chosen to do and say, I'm not going to watch anymore. But we all have that itch at this time of the year. You can't wait. We just got through talking about spring games and all this other kind of stuff. It is a part of the fabric of the American sports fan. Okay, it's football Saturdays, it's football Sundays. And it's unfortunate that one of the most popular sports around here is so doggone political. But it really does speak to the way society is today. So to his point, you know, it's going to be difficult for anybody to just cut it off cold turkey. And I wish him well. But when he gets close to the playoffs, he's going to be challenged, I'm telling you. Because anybody who's been watching this sport as long as he has, I'm sure, you and I have, going to peek in. You're going to peek in. You're addicted to it. We're all addicted to it. And that's what pisses us off about it.
And I think the point I want to kind of hit on, because, you know, the argument that most people start with. So, you know, when people realize, well, this political thing is so strong, then folks just start, I hear all these guys attacking the football. I hear Slarek, I hear all this stuff. And 538, I sent you that article, did some analysis of free agent quarterbacks. And if you have a chance, go to 538.com. It's incredible. On one axis, you have total quarterback rating. So we buy into this quarterback rating system. Everybody buys into it. People talk about it. We're all in analytics. So like, let's not push back on that now. Let's not push back on that now. And then the bottom axis is length of players' free agency. This is a scatter plot, which means the size of the bubble is related to the statistics and the rating. Kaepernick's bubble is bigger than all those bubbles out there for the most part. I don't think there's a bubble bigger than his, which means number of pass attempts, means all the things that we say precious in the quarterback rating is there. big, I mean, I think maybe it's Fitzpatrick. And he's the only other outlier, and he basically sat out. I think the other outlier was Vic, because Vic was out of football because of the issue with the dogs. It's such an outlier. So when people make the argument about the football-related stuff, statistically, I mean, he threw 16 touchdowns and had 4 interceptions. People talk about a whole bunch of stuff. We justify a whole bunch of other people's stuff, offenses, all that stuff. But if anybody else has 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, they should know somebody's roster. So now it's not really about the football, right? It becomes about the politics, like you said before. And to me, now we got a league that now Richard Sherman is a problem in the locker room. This guy's a Pro Bowl caliber. Reason why they where they at? But he talks up a little bit. He's a problem. But Tom Brady can't tell you he got concussions. He don't tell you he got concussions. That's just Tom being Tom.
What you're talking about is, I mean, that's what I want folks to understand. Don't sit here and don't throw stats at me with Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick, let's face the facts, D. Colin Kaepernick was just a few years and a few seconds away from winning a doggone Super Bowl, okay? Don't sit here and tell me you got a quarterback that's led a team to the Super Bowl, and all of a sudden you want to spit stats on him at 30 years old, but you go and pull inside Jay Cutler out of retirement to go sign with the Dolphins, and you want me, and you're going to insult my intelligence and think that's a better move? I'm not hearing that noise, okay? Don't sit here and tell me that Ryan Fitzpatrick and some of these other side quarterbacks have got jobs on these NFL teams when they ain't got a quarterback. Somebody name me the quarterback for the New York Jets. Somebody name me the quarterback for any of these other teams in the NFL and tell me how in the world they got jobs. And you're going to sit here and give me some stats on Colin Kaepernick. Give me a break. Colin Kaepernick has got a Super Bowl on his resume. How many of the rest of these quarterbacks got, okay? If you're going to talk stats, you're talking about a young man that still got his health, still in his prime, all right? You're just upset because he took a stand. And what gets me, what really, really sickens me on this whole thing is the fact that you have players that have thrown their women on guns, that have got pictures and videotapes of knocking women out, pulling down their tops, all this other kind of crap. You got then the ultimate hypocrisy. You're going to suspend a player 4 games because of a damn deflated football that he had nothing to do with and going to make him responsible for it. The NFL is a joke in how they set up discipline, how they do their players. But I'm going to tell you this too, D, and this is the piece that nobody really talk about. The NFL Player Association allowing these things to happen to their players is deplorable. Okay, they've allowed these working conditions to succeed. How in the world, if you're the NFLPA, can you allow a player the caliber of a Colin Kaepernick to not be signed by somebody based upon what? And you can't see that's a black ball? And you can't do anything about it to protect that player? Those are the sort of things that drives me crazy. You know, Roger Goodell has been given that power by the NFLPA. So those players can be just treated, you know, and I'm going to fall short to be called slaves, because if I was a slave and I'm making $5-6 million a year, then I'm a slave. You ain't giving me that. These guys make they're making a doggone good, salary for that foolishness. You know, I mean, if you want to really break it down like that, so they can put that slave stuff and put it on the shelf. Is it unfair? You're doggone right. Is it, you know, blackballing and all these other things? Yeah. But you know what? You got a bunch of guys that do have a platform. They got a platform every Sunday and beyond. And you got a lot of players of color that have the means. They're all their own corporations. They can do something about this. The NFL needs those players to perform for any of those owners to make money. I'm not going to feel sorry for them on that, because they could do something, but everybody's looking at their bread being buttered too. Okay, don't let Colin Kaepernick be out there by himself. Y'all know what's up, okay? Your Richard Shermans, your Marshawn Lynches, and several others. They all had to deal with some of the injustices that are going on in this country. But yet they go and they keep their mouths shut and they make their money for that man. All right? But there are their little mini corporations. If they wanted to, they could do something about it. They could stand with Colin Kaepernick and make sure that brother gets signed.
You hitting all the notes, man. And I want to drill down one more time because you'll hit him in the head with that, and then I'm going to come right with the straight jab. I heard Stink. I heard all these football people do this, talk about the football stuff. I'm going to break another thing down on you. So just to hit the point again, one of their researchers catalogs performance at pre-snap. Now, everybody connects pre-snap to your IQ, your intellectual ability, your ability to recognize defenses, understand what you're in, get your offense out of bad situations. That's what we talk about. And a lot of times these cold words for players like Kaepernick is they don't do that. They do an analysis of this and found that he outplayed Ravens starting quarterback Joe Flacco on pre-snap reads.
Oh, yeah, I can believe it.
So, look, what I'm telling y'all is stop the football stuff. Stop the questions about all this other stuff. Let's get to the facts. And I think one of the things is you are beginning to see players come back, beginning to exercise some of this, speak up. But we also have a culture. We also have a sport, even more so unlike some of the other sports, tied more closely to the issues of this election than any other sport in terms of the people who love the game, where they come from, in terms of the issues, in terms of their socioeconomic status, mirrors a lot of this stuff we saw in Charlotte. So, you know, the same folks will be wearing jerseys, will be great football folks at their stadium, but these same elements and issues are part of this game. The conservative way in which they view the world is also fans in this space. And so when you hear people like Bashadi and these folks talking about who they listen to, that's the folks they talk about in their dollars. And so this whole idea of whose money you fear, because they say they react, you said it's about money, and it's whose money. And so from Game Changers' response around the idea of understanding the economic power, because you just hit the players on that, but also fans who might care about it. You know, I'm gonna, you know, as much as I love the red zone, ain't do you. I'm just gonna have to get the highlights. You know, like I told Game Changers, you know, I'm kind of like in the Ali movie, though. I gotta eat my pork. Kind of like Bundini on some of that stuff. But you're not getting my red zone. You're not getting some of the stuff that you were getting. And so you got to understand that nuance about who I got to listen to. Who is the public? When I hear cold words like that, I'm like, what demographics are you talking about? Who are you responding to? And it's not people like Game Changer, who's a professional with degree, who leads young people. It's not folks like you and I who do pretty well economically. They're not thinking about us, even though we have the disposable income to contribute. That's not the voice they're worried about. And so we also have to be real about that. So if it was an issue, then he would have been signed in places like Baltimore, places like Oakland, right? You know,
right.
Where a lot of these places like New Orleans, right? You know, he even Miami, where there's an urban contingency there. Not Miami, though. He wore the Castro shirt. That was on him. That might be another issue, but that might not be. But there's a lot of urban spaces where there is that urban dollar contribute to it. Chicago, a lot of these different places where he could have been signed. And so where it's clearly, if you talk to people on the ground, there are fans who are like, what are you talking about? Especially in Baltimore, they're like, what are you talking about? At the stadium, people
I thought he would have been good in Pittsburgh. I said that you had Roethlisberger who was talking about retirement. I said you got Mike Tomlin, who's a black coach. You know, and you had a progressive ownership there with the Rooneys. I thought he'd have been a good fit there. I think that, listen, there's nothing wrong with what Colin Kaepernick is doing. People fail to understand that he is peaceful in his protests, you know, in what's going on. And let's not act like what he's protesting isn't going on right now in America. Like I said, we're less than 24 hours from a very heinous event that's going to go down in you know, infamously in American history. Here we are again in 2017, and we're having incidents like we did yesterday in Charlottesville, Virginia. It's deplorable. Okay, he needs to draw awareness to it, especially with the platform that he has. I am sick of the football argument, D. I'm telling you, I understand.
Yeah.
But the idea that you want to make a football argument on why Colin Kaepernick is not signed, and you go and pull Jay freaking Cutler out of retirement to go and quarterback the Rams. Okay, you still got Bradford in Minnesota because Teddy Bridgewater may not come back. You're going to sit here and tell me that there's not a place in this NFL with these sorry quarterbacks, and I've got to censor myself because I'm getting mad thinking about it, but with some of the sorry quarterbacks that's on some of these rosters, that this brother that took the game to the Super Bowl 5 seconds and a pass interference call away from winning the Super Bowl is not good enough to back up on your team, New York Jets, Miami Dolphins, Minnesota Vikings. Are you freaking kidding me? Okay, like you want to sit here and say he's not intellectually sound pre-snap? He's one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the league. Okay, it's not his fault that the San Francisco 49ers turned into a dumpster fire. As a Michigan fan, I'm glad it did. But he shouldn't be the fallout to that. That's the quarterback that got you there. Okay? That don't make sense to me nowhere outside of one incident that he spoke on. Okay? But Greg Hardy came to be in your locker room. Okay? Ezekiel Elliott is okay to be in your locker room. And countless others. Okay? Those are the ones we know about. And countless others. You can take performance-enhancing drugs and be suspended, but you're still on the roster. None of this makes sense, okay? And it grinds me because what he did was, you think about the NBA. You think about how progressive the WNBA, well, we have had those conversations on these airwaves about how progressive those sports are, about events that's happened in this world that's affected a lot of people, okay? The incident in Orlando and how the WNBA responded to that and other incidents where they responded. And you're going to sit here and tell me that this is another social issue and the NFL is treating this man like this? And the fact that you got players that want to be called themselves, quote-unquote, outspoken, but they're being quiet? Indeed, they're being quiet, okay? They should come together on that. You're not going to make me believe ever. You know, you can't make a football argument. The fact that you have commentators that's in the same studio shows with these players is trying to make a football argument against Colin Kaepernick aren't as outraged as you and I. That makes me mad too.
Yeah, and the thing about it, and what you know, the reason why they can let those other acts go because they play into the stereotypes. That's why it's easier for people to let those other acts go, because that is what they expect black males to be doing. And so that's why it's easy to, like, the guns, or it's easy, it's the abuse to women, because in their mind, that's the image that folks have of males by their behavior. That's why somebody like Jerry Jones can come out and defend, you know, and Jerry gets the back of his players. I ain't going to get too much on him, but you can defend that, but then a cat who wasn't even guilty, you couldn't find a way for him to get back on the team. You know, again, at the end of the day, you know, those images, people can accept those images, but when you're questioning the status quo, it's funny how many times we hear people say, you know, they wish athletes cared about much more than material things. And in recent years, these athletes have shown their consciousness. You know, they have – normally was reserved for, you know, students who are non-athletes, both in college and on the professional level. They have led. They have been out front, whether it's LeBron wearing his shirt, whether it's, you know, the Bennett brothers speaking up in football. You know, if they have done what they needed to do and have been putting stuff out there.
in ways that should endear you to the community, unless placing your emphasis on, you know, the NFL sounds a lot like our president when he makes statements reacting to these incidents. They're not, he ain't going to lean too one to the left or the right because he don't want to mess up his base. And sometimes the
right.
NFL feels like that's the way they operate because they don't understand the economic power of the community that are in being impacted. They have never recognized that. And that's the institutionalized racism that I think as you speak in terms of the nature of the ownership, where they're coming from. A lot of these other leagues, you got some younger owners. You got people who are a little bit more nouveau. They in that space. If you want to see the difference between leagues, go to the NBA All-Star Weekend.
Absolutely.
See the interaction
Absolutely.
With the corporate structure, the NBA, the player structure, the corporate structure, the entertainment structure. Like, that, when you're talking about where America's going, who's pushing stuff, you know, go into that. If you ever go to NBA All-Star Weekend, you start to see the game a different way. And so, you know, NFL players are tapping into some of those NBA structures in the offseason, getting connected in those spaces, being facilitated into them a lot of times. But they don't have their own stuff in their space because of the way their security is not the same way. So you're right, they need to team up on this for a whole bunch of reasons. They need to team up on this around salary security, a whole bunch of stuff allows for this stuff to happen. And if they don't deal with some of those structures, then it's not going to be Kaepernick, it's going to be somebody else. It's going to be someone else is going to be on the line because you just one place away from them doing you dirty. And so you're right.
Right.
You know, for people better step up because if they can do that to a player like this, they can do it for lesser issues to other folks. And so
– right. Let me say this. I know we're running short on time, but I want to make this point. You know, the NFL, we had this conversation too, okay? What's going on with the attendance of the NFL? The problem with the NFL is nobody's talking about football, okay? Nobody's talking about football. You go the whole offseason, and they're all talking about Colin Kaepernick. Then you start talking about during the season. Now you start talking about suspensions, and you start talking about all of these social issues that is affecting the NFL and is affecting the product on the field because people are starting to get fed up with it. You go to the NBA, you talk about LeBron James, you start talking about Steph Curry. You're talking about basketball. You're talking about the product on the court. You talk about baseball, you talk about Bryce Harper, you talk about Mike Trout, you talk about Aaron Judge. You're talking about baseball. You're talking about the product on the field. Okay, you do same thing with hockey. You're talking about product on the ice. This sport is got so much going on off of the field that it's starting to take its toll on the attendance. Okay, and that's what's happening with football. They better figure it out. Okay, because if it becomes one big drama show, when you start having political fractures and factions in your sport's not going to survive. And they better figure that out pretty doggone quick because the conversation around the NFL is not football. And you think about that. And we really hadn't talked about that. It's not about football.
Well, this has been good. We're going to keep hitting this. On the big show, you probably won't hear a lot of specific NFL-related tactical kinds of conversations. We haven't had a chance to connect with Phil T on this, but, you know, if we do talk about it, Game Changer will be taking a break. You know, he'll be off to the corner and hanging out, and then he'll come back in the conversation. We're going to honor this. But, you know, this is what we do. This is why we started this podcast and this show and this platform. Is that these are issues we're going to shy away from. And the reason why we've come hard at them is because we're avid sports fans. Like, this is why we can come hard, because we talk sports all day long. And if you want anybody to be interested in what you're doing, you want us to be. Because we love it. Everybody I know love it. That's in my network. And so, but we are going to call you on some craziness. And that's just kind of how we get down here at RSG. You listen to One Mic, brought to you by Carbon World Health and Dr. Lagrias and his staff. It is the total solution for fitness and beauty and health. Go to carbonworldhealth.com. And just let Nestor and all the folks over there, Dr. Rodriguez, and the folks know that the Real Sports Guy sent you. We really appreciate everything they've done. The partnership, we got more stuff popping off with them. You'll be seeing it. We'll get
we're going to get Dr. Rodriguez on and talk a lot about some of this health we've been learning about with sports. You know, this is a guy that's very involved at state and other levels around athletics, you know, as a medical person around sports, particularly in combat sports. And then we will be having Doug Fisher, who, if you had a chance to hear that podcast, great podcast, he will be coming back right before the Triple G and Canelo fight to, you know, provide his prediction and his analysis. So check that podcast. It'll be coming up here soon. Inside the Park, we'll be dropping on you here quickly, coming out the box. You know, Hank, you already heard it. You know, he's going to come with the fire, and we're going to be hitting you with more and more of those as we move forward. So definitely make sure that check out that. You can check us on iTunes. Please provide a review. Hit us with that 5-star if you can. Share it with a friend. We're trying to connect people one at a time. As we do on One Mic, the way we close the show out, we like to drop the mic. And if you had a chance to go hear the one, even our guests come and they do it. So, you know, we have Bob DeMars, who was a film director. He actually came on One Mic. He gave the final thoughts on Drop the Mic. Doug Fisher dropped the mic on his show. And so this is the kind of thing that's part of our One Mic platform. We go deep, and then at the end of the day, we try to summarize. We try to bring this all together and kind of, you know, bring some perspective to it. And our topic today was really looking at, you know, is the NFL a place for intellectually gifted and politically conscious black males? And we've heard a lot of talk on One Mic and on a big show, and we've examined this and looked at the history and the context and brought all this stuff up. And I think, you know, in many ways mentioned, you know, the popularity of football and the fact that it's, you know, the popular, most popular American sport. There's some other sports closing in on it. That in some ways it mirrors America, right? It reflects it in a lot of different ways. It's a place that causes America to really be confronted with many of its own challenges. You know, it has a space where it, in the locker room, you have cats from all these different backgrounds come together for one cause, but they all come from some culturally different space, the way in which they see the game. You know, even when you talk about the whole idea of celebration and entertainment, you know, the NFL struggled with how to think about that. And in the center of that were, in many cases, were black athletes. You know, forget the Billy White Shoe Johnsons and the Smurfs and all the other great entertainment we saw, the Hogs and all these folks that used to do it. You know, when we think about just the creativity of someone like a Chad Johnson and we see what T.O. did and how that drew all kinds of different conversations or reactions based on where you were coming from and what people were adding value, create a whole other dialogue. When we think about how folks view Russell Wilson and who he is and his own identity and what's that elicit and even the kinds of conversations of race that have come around that, we look at the reaction to Katrina and the way in which that then moved to the old the gate around taking bounty gate and how that all evolved and all the different elements that were part of that. As Hank said, football is being known for a lot of stuff that is not about football. There are a lot of issues that are playing out. And the one thing the NFL has got to figure out that I think the NBA is, do they got the right leader to lead it? Listen to RSG One Mic, here with D. Wilson Hank. See you next time.